You already know this is Fluent and Chill. I'm Anthony K. I'm here as always with my main man, Jermaine. How you doing, me?
What's up, brother? Basketball season. You know it. Got some good stuff today.
We got a lot of good stuff today because I want to really get into not just what happened with Joker last night, the aftermath, but also what that means in the NBA, because there's two MVP candidates, one last year, one this year, and they were talking about going out back. So mm-hmm. we're going to talk about that. Steph Curry doing Steph Curry things.
Yes, sir.
We're going to talk mm-hmm. about my favorite for the MVP right now, Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about AD, who you have as top five, top three
mm-hmm. I do have player top five
in the yes. NBA. Mm-hmm. The surprising Charlotte Hornets are going to be on the agenda because they're going to make some noise. I think they're going to be in the playoffs this year. But let's start things off by telling everyone, one, you can find me on all social media platforms at sports_fluent. And you can find Chilltown, TikTok, YouTube. It's Chilltown Hoops. And a special promo. I've told you about this before on TikTok. You can go check it out. Thrive Fantasy, dollar for dollar. I'm going to match whatever you deposit. I'm going to match it dollar for dollar and give you two free plays for tickets, NFL Sunday tickets, up to $50,000 prizes. So go check that out on Thrive Fantasy. Promo code. I should probably get that right. Mm-hmm. Promo code Fluent. I make it easy. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's start with some player. Some guys asked us about them. I did not. I knew the name. Mm-hmm. I knew the social media hype. Mm-hmm. But I'll be honest, I wasn't 100% knowledgeable on his game.
Or fluent.
I was not fluent on him. Yes, yes. I was trying not to say that. All right, so he's averaging 10-6-6 as a rookie. Mm-hmm. So we just talked about solid numbers. From Australia, he's 6'8", 200-some pounds, 19 years old. Mm-hmm. Josh Giddey, mm-hmm. we've been getting a lot of questions about Mr. Giddey. I thought it was because he has a very strong social media presence, mm-hmm. but you've been watching him. He's got some game too.
He can play, Tone. Absolutely, he can play. I caught him in the summer league. I saw a little bit of him on on Australia's national team. And, you know, when you're talking about kids, 18, 19-year-old kids, this, you don't really know what to make of them because they're still growing. They're still learning the game. So, of course, there's not a lot of evidence that this person is going to be or this player is going to be something special, but you know, this he's actually solid, Tone. Like I said, 6'8". I watched him in the summer league. He was solid. He can pass the basketball. He can rebound. He looks like he's got a really good upside. Now, he's not a freak athlete or anything like that, but I think that as the game evolves with him, I think that he'll become a lot better. Now, is he going to be an all-star? Is he going to be somebody that they're building it around? Well, that remains to be seen, because again, we're talking about a 19-year-old kid who doesn't really have it figured out yet. So, but as of right now, as a rook, he looks solid. I think a lot of the stuff that we're getting from him in terms of people asking about Josh Giddey, a lot of it is just the social media stuff. And it's taken away from his game. And that's the downside of it. But, you know, I think that he's one of those guys that, you know, once the game starts to slow down for him, I think he's going to be a lot better.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because for the most part, we get asked questions about the superstars, mm-hmm. right? We get the Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, mm-hmm. Steph Curry, and that's where we put a lot of our attention, and deservedly so. They're the best mm-hmm. players in the game. But a guy like this who's, listen, like I said, rookie season, I think he's averaging like 29 minutes a game, so he's mm-hmm. getting playing time. He's shooting about 40-25 field goal 3-point, so we need to work on that shooting a little bit. Mm-hmm. However, he's putting in minutes. He's playing. And he's contributing. 10-6-6 is nothing to sneeze at. Like, that's not, you know, there are guys who've, you know, played a lot less and had long careers in there. So, you know, maybe we should give some of the role players a little bit more love. So mm-hmm. I didn't, as I said to you, I wasn't fluent with Josh Giddey. I had to do some research on him. Yeah, I agree with you. Is he going to be the second coming? No. But is he going to contribute to a team? Yeah, 100% mm-hmm. he is. So we'll keep an eye on him, and maybe mm-hmm. we'll do another progression maybe halfway through the season because there's so much attention on him. Mm-hmm. So from a rookie to a guy that, listen, when healthy, and that's the big key, when healthy, he might be the best player on the Lakers today. You really like Anthony Davis, so I'm going to let you take it away.
Well, Tone, I want you to rewind the clock, not last season. I want you to rewind the clock 2 years ago when they won the NBA championship. You know, everybody talked about LeBron leading the league in assists, and he was 25-10, and I can appreciate that. But when do we have a team that's an NBA contender, and that NBA contender has a player that leads that team in points, rebounds, and blocks? How are we talking about him?
He's in the MVP conversation.
He's the best. If he ain't the best player in the game, he's one of the two best players in the game. That was Anthony Davis. He led the Lakers in points, rebounds, and blocks. He didn't get a sniff for league MVP, which he was 26-9 in two blocks. Now, I felt like this for the better part of 4 years now, maybe 4 or 5 years now, that when he's healthy, he's a top five player. You know, a lot of people, they talk about his injuries and how he left New Orleans and, you know, he's made of glass and all that. When he's healthy, we talking about a guy in this season particularly, I believe he's 27-11 in two blocks, and he brings so much to the Los Angeles Lakers. I watched him. We completely forget about the year that they won the NBA championship in the 1920 season. You know, two of those three seasons, I think he finished in the top five in MVP votes. He finished in the top three, two of those three seasons, in Defensive Player of the Year. And he wasn't healthy last year. No, he wasn't. But he's healthy this year. Now, the Lakers got some continuity issues, but that doesn't seem to have affected his game at all. Like I said, I think he's 26-11 and two blocks. So if he could keep, as long as he continues to play his game, and I've said this to you, Tone, before the season started, I think that their championship aspirations rest on Anthony Davis being healthy. We can figure Russ out. We can figure the whole Russ thing out. But I think that their championship aspirations depend on Anthony Davis.
So it's interesting that you say that, because even in that championship season, this is how I described it. I said LeBron is the best player on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Davis is the most important player on the team.
There's a difference, Tone. It's and there not is the a same thing.
Because when I said he's the most important, people are like, you're crazy, LeBron. And I said, yeah, LeBron's still the best. Mm-hmm. But Anthony Davis is the most important because, mm-hmm. listen, you can't win without either one of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, you know, we saw what he did the year before without an Anthony Davis. Now, granted, he got hurt, but they didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
So the thing about Anthony Davis, and you're a historian, so I'm going to ask you a question because I can't think of one. I might have to look it up and maybe talk about it next week. But has there ever been a team that's had more than one player in the MVP conversation where they actually give them, like you would say, a sniff?
I actually had this conversation. We're talking about duos that are top five players together, not duos that are top five players throughout their career.
Separate, and then they come together. Right. Yeah.
No,
in the same season at the same time. Yeah.
At the same time. And Tone, I did my due diligence. This was a long time ago. And there are seven guys. You go back, I did Pat 40 years. So we're talking about Jabbar and Magic were first team all NBA, and they were in the conversation. Doc and Moses also,
yeah.
Bird and McHale, Stockton and Malone, and Stockton and Malone.
Was Stockton in the MVP conversation though?
Absolutely, he finished in the top 10 in league MVP votes.
Okay.
Stockton and Malone, Shaq and Kobe,
yeah,
Stoudemire and Steve
Nash,
and of course Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. And those are the only guys who were considered top five players in the 1995-96 season. You know, Scottie Pippen was arguably the best. He was regarded as the best all-around player in the game. That doesn't happen a lot where you get two players on a team where they're arguably top five players in the game.
I think you just listed seven opportunities out of 40 years. So, and even some of those, I'd probably argue that, I don't know, that Stoudemire, like, Stoudemire in, you know, I even questioned, you know, Stockton, did they have a legitimate shot at winning MVP?
Right.
And that's the thing where it's like, I get what you're saying. Like all those people you named, I get it. They were, hey, if they were top 10 in voting, then they're clearly in the conversation.
Right.
But I mean, like, this is the first time I could think of where if LeBron wasn't there, we're talking Anthony Davis for MVP.
Facts.
And it's only because he's there and he look, and again, I'll say it, he's the better player. So of course you it's, this is the closest one maybe of the bunch, maybe that 96 Bulls, because Pippen had come off being, I think he was second or third in MVP voting the year that Jordan wasn't there. So that might be the next closest one, but it doesn't happen very often where there's a legitimate shot that either one could be. Like, you wouldn't be wrong if you gave one or the other the MVP. So I think that's interesting, because
I did leave those two out too, by the way. Anthony Davis and LeBron James in 2019-20 both made first team All NBA. And
we were talking about that. So yeah, obviously LeBron needs to get healthy, but I think we do. We focus on the games that he misses and not the games that he plays. Because you're right, when he plays, he can do everything.
Everything.
I know he doesn't want to be a center. I know he wants to be a power forward. Mm-hmm. But let's be honest, he's the most versatile center like in the game.
Yes, sir.
Right. Like we compare him as a center to Embiid, right? He's just as athletic. Mm-hmm. He can probably do more things. He's a better outside shooter than Embiid. He's just better athlete, just as dominant on the defensive end. Mm-hmm. If you look at who else are the big time centers, Joker, he's clearly, you know, maybe not as good a passer, but I mean, athleticism and some other things, he's so much better than that. He makes that leap. He's there, right? I get it. He wants to be a power forward, but even versus power forwards, he's in that conversation. So I think we need, can we be sleeping on AD? Are we sleeping on AD a little bit?
I'm not.
I think the masses might be sleeping on, because even when I talk my MVP, people said, who are your favorites for MVP? And I say the typical names, because I look at it the way the NBA looks at it. I know who my MVPs would be, and it would be a different list. Mm-hmm. But I say the way the NBA picks their MVP, I'm like, well, who's it going to be? It's going to be Steph, KD, and probably, you know, if they don't have voter fatigue, probably Giannis. Those are like the three kind of front runners. You have, you know, now you have some other guys in the mix right now, but you know, they're going to look at record and all these other, and they look at name. You're never, I'm sorry, I don't believe, and I wish this wasn't true, but you're never going to have a guy on a 500 team who blows away you, even statistically, win the MVP. It might be in the conversation. Like, even look at Steph. Steph had a season last year, like a season, but his team wasn't very good.
Jabal's the last guy for that to happen to. That was in the 74-75 season.
So think about that. It's been 50. It's been almost 50 years since they gave a player not on a kind of top three team an MVP. Yes, so there you go. So speaking of Joker, because we said when I compared him to AD, got into a little bit of a scuffle last night. And I gotta tell you, my initial thoughts, because I saw the apology afterwards, and that's what I saw first, because I wasn't watching that game. And then I saw what he did after the apology, and I said, nope, that apology isn't good enough for me. Because the one thing as a player, and you know this, there's certain things you do and certain things you don't do. And cracking a guy in the back when he's defenseless, I'm sorry, that's cowardly. I don't condone it, and I don't like it. And I just there's not enough negatives I can say about doing that to anybody. I think is terrible. You've also played. When you saw it?
I will tell you this though, Tone. We'll go around, come around. And Morris, these guys are notorious for this.
Yep.
So did I appreciate what Joker did? I can't say with 100% certainty that I had a problem with it. And the reason why I can't say that is because these guys are notorious for being that. They're notorious for pushing guys around and being bullies. Now, if you're going to do stuff like that, you have to expect that eventually somebody's going to stand up to you. That's going to happen.
Oh, let me pause and say I'm not against Joker doing something, because even the play, what's created it, right? Morris reaches in and gives him a shoulder. I understand. What I'm saying is, do it, not in the back.
I'll tell you, I'll take it a step further than that, Tone. Because what I saw, that what I immediately thought about was, my mind rewinded back to 1995, where Antonio Davis would have stepped in and grabbed Joker and be like, no, I'll take care of this. I got you covered. Nope, you don't do that.
Yeah, that's not what your MVP is supposed to do, right?
No, you don't do that. That's my job. I got you covered. Where Xavier McDaniel, rewind the clock even further, Michael Cage and Oakley and those guys are like, no. That's not your job. I'll take care of that. Don't worry. I know you're upset right now, but don't worry. I promise you, I'll take care of this. Don't you worry about
that. Every championship team has that guy, right? Every championship
has that. You have to have, and you also remember, too, Tone, during that time, and you being in Toronto, you can appreciate this from understanding hockey. You know, they hire goons specifically for that.
Yeah, not as much anymore, but yes, there was always, I remember a story, Wayne Gretzky, obviously greatest hockey player of all time, was like,
right.
Yeah, I go nowhere without Marty McSorley.
He's
on my hip right here all the time. Yeah.
And Marty McSorley made sure anybody, if they attempt to try to push him around, they're going to have to deal with him, right. And they don't want to. So the same thing was going on in the NBA back then. That's why Charles Oakley was on the team. You know, it took away from how good he was as a rebounder. It took away from how good he was as a defender. However, Oakley was a goon. And he was a goon because he took care of Michael Jordan. He didn't let anybody push Jordan around. Even though the Bad Boy Pistons were trying to do that, Oak made it clear, that's not going to happen while
I'm
out here.
Trust me, that I'm sure Jordan had a little bit of a when they traded him to New York
absolutely.
For Cartwright, absolutely. You know, he didn't like that because
he didn't appreciate that at all. Absolutely. So to get back to what I'm saying, I don't have a problem with Joker handling that. Now, remember, Tone, if the first thing doesn't happen where Morris pushes Joker, the second thing doesn't happen. There's always a cause and effect. We don't get here without this. And like I said, Tone, when these guys, the Mars guys are notorious for
They're those guys.
They're notorious for being that.
What I'm saying. So would I have, listen, maybe I'm splitting hairs. Would I have liked to see Morris reaches in, drops the shoulder, and then one of his teammates comes in from in front and pushes Morris, and there's, you know, pushing, shoving?
Yeah.
Yes. I don't like my MVP cracking someone in the back, especially a 7 foot, 200 and whatever he is, 70.
That's not your job. No, right?
Not your job. Two, you're too good to lose.
Right.
And three, you can also injure, I get it, the frustration, but you don't want to injure a player either. And then, things obviously escalate a little bit. And I got to tell you, and then it's so funny that I say that on one hand, and then on the other hand, I really like my MVP candidate, Jimmy Butler, getting right in there and saying, all right, let's take this up. Hey, you want to meet up back in the alley? Let's go. I like that he's standing up for his team. I think stuff like that brings the team together to show that, hey, I got your back. So listen, I don't want them going out in the alley and fighting. I'm not saying that. However, standing up for your teammates, I think brings this team, because listen, the one thing we know about the Heat this season, they're going to have to be a very tough defensive team. That's what they're going to build. It's still that Pat Riley. You might have changed the name of the coach, but Pat Riley still has his stamp on this team.
Yes, he does. Right?
And, you know, it's no surprise. I think it was Udonis Haslem standing next to Butler, and they're both just chirping. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, that's what this team is going to be.
Absolutely.
You might win. You might win a game. But, boy, you're going to feel those bruises the next morning.
Yes, you are. Absolutely. And I can appreciate how Jimmy Butler handled that. Sure, I can appreciate that, because that's what your leader does. Your leader stands up for the team. And in particular, particularly something like this. I've said it in the past, Tone, and I stand on it. As a former basketball player, I look at Jimmy Butler, and I am 100% confident he and I would have gotten into a fist fight at some point. I'm not on the fence about that. I'm sure.
On the same team or on different teams or either? Either
on the same team. And we probably would have been the best of friends, too. Me and him would probably have been the best of friends, specifically because at some point we would have gotten into a fist fight, because we were very much alike, like that. So he's the kind of guy who, he will go to bat for you. He will do whatever it takes to make sure that you're good. And when you got somebody like that on your crew, you have to go to bat for him, too.
Yeah. But he's also going to push you. We learned in Minnesota. Hey, you take all the starters, I'll take all the scrubs, and we win.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's what I like about Jimmy Butler. And I think we talked about this last night. He's a legit candidate for the MVP if he can play that, kind of 70 games. Because I think that's kind of the line in the sand, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely he is.
So from one kind of punching things up to there's a guy in Golden State. I think he shoots a few threes. Doesn't do much else, though.
He really doesn't.
Had a pretty good game last night.
Yeah, he did.
Is is Curry just, has he, we thought he was going to start to slow down. Has he taken his game to another level?
I don't know if he's taken it to another level, Tone, more than he's just comfortable in his own skin. And the game looks like it's slowed down for him a lot. And he's still, I thought this in the beginning of the season, I thought that he's got, at this level, I think he's got maybe two more years at this level before he starts to slow down. I'll give him three tops. And he doesn't take a lot of, he doesn't take a lot of bumps and bruises. So he can still play at a high level. And his game is conducive to what the game is today. Tony, this dude shot almost 20 threes last night. He went 9 for 19 on the long ball. So, you know, when you got a guy that's shooting like that and he doesn't have to worry about, you know, getting slammed or getting roughed up, you know, he can play at that high level for a long time. But when we see what Steph Curry is doing, what we're missing, the Warriors got a good team, Tone.
Mm-hmm.
They got a really good team, man. You know, Andrew Wiggins is playing good. Draymond is he's the engine that makes that team go. I love what Jordan Poole is. Yeah, I love what Jordan Poole is doing. I love Looney, the dirty work guy. I love everything that these guys are doing. And Steph is just compounding that with everything that he's doing, taking care of the basketball, he had 10 assists last night. We completely left that part out. You know, Steph is starting to pass the ball at an elite level. And I think a lot of that has to do with, because and watching that Golden State offense, Tone, it's mastery, to be honest with you. When I watch the Laker offense, when I watch other teams' offense, it's glaringly different as opposed to the
Warriors offense. It seems so, it's not that, I'm not saying that the other teams' offenses are this, but the Golden State Warriors offense makes the other teams in the NBA's offense look stagnant.
It does, Tone.
Because the ball moves so freely. And I know that Steve Kerr brought a lot of kind of those read and react triangle concepts from the triangle offense into this offense, and you can see it. And when there's players that can score, players that can hit shots, and players that are willing to pass, like when you got a guy who can shoot 19 threes but he's also willing dish out 10 assists, it says a lot. Because typically when you have someone who shoots that much, it's like all they do is shoot. They're not they're not looking to move the ball. And so that's why he's really impressed me this season. I think I said it, and I repeat this probably, you know, that first game where he was off and had a 20-10-10 triple-double, that showed me a different side of Steph that I question if he, you know, could do that consistently. Because we talk about his playmaking, and I said, well, he's a shooter and he's really good off the ball, and, you know, he'll make the pass when he has to. No, he's become now a playmaker. It's that's why I say a next level, because he could always do the other stuff. But he's, I feel like, I don't know if it's he's a more willing passer or now he has more people. Because he had Clay. Let's be honest. He had Clay who could score, and that was it. Now he's got other guys, Wiggins and Poole. They're good. They're climbing up that ladder of title contenders, like favorites here very quickly, because Clay's going to be coming back soon. People are talking about putting Clay off the bench because Jordan Poole is playing so well. But this is what I wanted to ask you, because someone sent me something and I thought it was crazy. But then I saw the responses and maybe it's not so crazy. Is Clay a better shooter than Steph?
No, I don't think so. I think that he's just as good in terms of him catching and shooting. Steph is the best that I've ever seen off the bounce. I think I told you that already, Tony.
We agree on that one.
There's no defense for a guy who can accurately shoot, you know, from 25 or 30 feet. You have to just eat whatever he's doing. But in terms of being a catch and shoot guy, I don't think that the disparity is that far when you're talking about a guy who can catch and shoot. Now, when you're talking about a guy off the bounce, I think that's completely
different. That's what separates them.
Yeah, I think that's what separates them.
Because like I said, when I first heard it, I was like, are you crazy? Curry's the greatest shooter of all time. Like, it's not. And then I saw the poll out, and I saw the vote, and it was closer than I thought. And I'm like, all right, maybe it's, spot up. Like, is it catch and shoot to that point? Yes, but off the bounce, I think that's what separates him.
Right. Now, I will tell you this, Tone. When you talk about Steph Curry being a playmaker, being an able playmaker, and not being sure if he could do that, well, the reason why it's working, Tone, number one, those guys that he's playing with are playing a lot better.
Oh, yeah. You can make the best pass. If they can't make a shot, you're not getting the assists. Yeah.
And not only are those guys playing a lot better, Steph Curry isn't playmaking at a difficult range. He's playmaking within that offense. Nothing. He's not playmaking where, you know, he's got to take on two and three guys and going down the gut and get guys open. No, all of his playmaking is within that offense where you got a lot of ball movement. And if the ball is moving, people are moving. If people are moving, that means the defense is off balance. And that's what works to Steph's advantage. And that's why his ability to playmake has been enhanced, because it's within that offense.
Almost every team in the NBA, mm-hmm. their number one play is the pick and roll. And the pick and roll obviously is not based on read, react, kind of, and a lot of movement. And that's why, like I said, the offenses look stagnant versus this. Mm-hmm. This gets you open shots.
Right.
And if there's something that, you know, anyone can listen, anyone who's watching, will, I promise you this, if you give an NBA player an open shot, they're going to make more of them than they miss.
Yes, they will.
Just watch practice. The guys who you think can't shoot, right? There's a great video of Ben Simmons and Rajon Rondo mm-hmm. shooting threes. Watch them. They don't miss. Not one in practice. Now, there's obviously a difference in game versus practice, but just think about that. And this is maybe to the kids who think they're NBA material. If you miss in practice, you're probably not making it to the NBA. That's just it. I'm sorry. But there's no defender on you, watch anyone. Even the bad shooters are making shots. That being said, in this offense, they get those open looks. And mm-hmm. and I think in the past, you know, I'm not knocking the other guys, but they're, you know, we put down Wiggins a lot. But Wiggins is 18 points a game. Lock it in. You know, Jordan Poole is turning into a solid player. So you got, and again, now you throw in Clay. I feel, I did not think they were going to be this good.
I had them fifth to start the season. I had the Warriors fifth in the Western Conference. I'm sticking to that.
I know it's early, but not 9-1. Hey, that's a start, especially when you see the struggles of these other teams.
Yes, sir.
So that being said, I want to end it with a couple of, I want to tell the four kind of play-in game. I hate this play-in game.
Me too.
Kind of teams. And let me, I want to know kind of what you think. So right now in the East, 7, 8, 9, 10 is New York, Toronto, Charlotte, Milwaukee.
Now, I think that's going to change. I think Milwaukee is going to move up. I think that once Middleton, I think that once Lopez, Drew Holiday.
They've got a lot of injuries.
Yeah, once those guys get healthy, you know, we got a long season. You know, once those guys get healthy, I think that, I think that that's going to change. I had the Knicks before the season started. I think I had them torn at 7 or 8. So I had them in the play-in tournament. And they could be anywhere between – I don't think the Knicks are a top-5 team in the East. I do not. I look at the Eastern Conference, and I don't think they're a top-5 team. So I think that they could go anywhere between 6 and 9. So I don't think that they're 10 bad. I don't think that they're bad at all. And the reason why I feel like that, Tone, is because the Eastern Conference is so good this year. The Eastern Conference is so good. You told me Milwaukee and Toronto. And you and I had this conversation, and I was sleeping on Toronto. And I had asked you. I said, Tone, why do I get so many inquiries about the Toronto Raptors? And then I understood exactly why, in terms of how big a deal just the country is. But then I started watching Toronto, and you know, they got a pretty good team. They got a pretty good team. So I had them right outside the play-in tournament. I had them at 11. I might have to reconsider that. They could be anywhere between 8 and 10. They could very well be anywhere between 8 and 10. So that could change. That could absolutely change. So
we both had Boston and Atlanta in the playoffs. They currently sit at 11 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
Will they make a push?
I had Boston at 5 in the East. I had Boston at 5 in the East, and I had Atlanta at 6. And again, Tom, we're talking 10 games into the season. Yeah. We haven't gotten started. We've barely gotten started. So I'd much rather have this conversation, even though I don't mind it now, because you know, we get to see a lot of young guys.
We'll check in, yeah.
Yeah, we get to see a lot of young guys, because Tone, a lot of these young guys, once the season progresses and we get to the playoffs, you know, a lot of these young guys probably won't be playing when we get to the playoffs and we get further in. Now, with that being said, I had Boston at 5. I had them at 5 to start the season, and I had Atlanta at 6. I'm sticking to that because I don't think that they're going to stay stagnant. What I mean when I say they're going to stay stagnant, they got two choices, Tone, Boston does. We got to figure out these roles between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Because I think everybody
else, trade.
Yeah, they have to. We can't just sit here, because otherwise they're going to be at the bottom of the Eastern Conference. And I think Brad Stevens knows that. I absolutely think he knows that. And yesterday's game between Atlanta, I think that was Steph as looking at Trae Young as the protege, thinking, all right, look, my man, you nice.
I'm but still the master.
Yeah, let's make sure we play on that. I'm not saying that you can't play. I think you're awesome, but yeah. I'm still the guy. Let's make sure we clear on that.
So last week we promised everybody, because we did, we went through the Eastern Conference and we said we'd talk about the West. So yeah. Here's the West. Mm-hmm. So we're already talking about Golden State, I think, a lot. Utah. Again, Utah, second in the West, 7-3. No one's talking about them.
Of course they're not.
Not only and you lived in Utah.
Yes, I did.
I've spent time in Utah. I actually really like Utah. Mm-hmm. Is it just because they're in Utah? Is that why no one's talking about them?
That's the only reason why, Tone, because they're vanilla. It's Utah. It's in the it's in the middle of nowhere, basically. If Salt Lake City, the closest international airport to Salt Lake City, Tone, is Vegas. It's 5 hours away. So
hey, listen, the reason I spent time in Utah was I drove. I was moving from Denver to San Francisco. Uh-huh. And I decided to drive, and and Utah's about halfway,
right?
So I drove to Utah, and I ended up liking it. So I stayed a couple of days, like, oh, it's kind of nice. And then I made the rest of the trip, because it's a long, as you can imagine, it's a long drive. Remind me to tell you the story, by the way, when I did that drive. Actually, I'll tell it to you now. So I'm leave listening. Colorado, and as I leave Colorado, I want to say it's Wyoming, is as I come kind of out of and heading to Utah, and I'm driving, and I think. I want to say I was doing 90, maybe.
Rolling pretty good.
In a 70, yeah. And so I get pulled over, and one of the state troopers, you know, the big hats, like big hats, and you know, the chin strap, but not like under, like where it's in front of the chin. Mm-hmm. So he comes over, strap, you know, the Oakley shades or whatever they are. Not the Oakley shades, the state trooper glass I'm talking about. They're not, you know what they are. And I've never experienced this before. But like unclipped, and his gun kind of half kind of not out, but you know, enough out that, you know, he's ready to draw on me. And he walks over and he says, license registration.
Oh,
you know how fast you was going, son? And I said, I had my cruise control, I think, set at 80. I guess I was going a little bit fast. And he says, clocked you at 88 miles an hour, son. And you know me, I'm stupid. So I say 88 miles an hour. I said, oh, too bad I wasn't driving a DeLorean. I could have gone back in time and driven by you slower. So now I've said it and I'm like, I'm about to get killed because I'm like, you know, it's just, I'm stupid. He unstraps his thing with like, just, that's funny enough to get you out of a ticket.
Thank you very much.
Back up, give me my license and registration, slow down and let me go. And I'm, like, and I'm driving away thinking, thank goodness he's a Back to the Future fan, because I was asking for trouble. So that, and then I end up in Utah, and that's how I ended up. That was the drive. Yeah. But Utah was great. So Utah, unfortunately, good team, great, right? Donovan Mitchell, Rudy
Gobert.
I guess there's no reason.
The problem that we're having with Utah is exactly that. The same thing that we used to have with Tim Duncan. He's vanilla. He's not fun to watch, but that Utah team, I think that they could be so much better if they involved Rudy more in the offense. I think that they could be so much better because he's a rim runner, he's a pick and dive guy. If they would involve him a little bit more in the offense, I mean, a couple of nights ago, he took 5 shots. I watched him against the Bulls, he took 9 shots, he goes 7 for 9, 4 for 5. Okay, Tone, Rudy's not a guy that you're going to dump the ball into and go to him. Okay. But you got to involve him more in the offense because him diving to the rim, that opens up their offense more than what it is right now. So,
and if there's one thing I know without a shadow of a doubt, don't, and no one can convince me otherwise because I've seen it. Mm-hmm. Get your big man some easy dunks and layups. And not that you have to worry about this with Rudy Gobert, but you know, their defense intensity tends to pick up a little bit when they get involved, right? When you
big fella starts to run more, yes.
Yeah, when you reward them, they do the work. Mm-hmm. So is Utah a legit contender?
I do. I had them at one. I had the Lakers at 2. I had the Utah Jazz at 1.
Okay. Dallas, I didn't think it would work. They're winning some games. Again, I know it's early.
Mm-hmm. But I had Dallas at 6. That's where I had them at. I had them at 6, and this dynamic. Well, the first thing that has to happen, Tone, is KP Porzingis got to stay healthy, right? If I can get 65 games out of him, and not only get 65 games out of him, that dynamic between him and Luka, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So they have to get on the same page where they understand, Porzingis understands exactly what his role is. Luka already understands what his role is. And I got to tell you, Tone, I think Luka could be so much better. And I've caught a lot of heat for this, but I think Luka could be so much better if he got himself in better shape. I think a lot of that slows him down, because if he was in better shape, I think that he could force pace a little bit more.
No. All the players today are bigger, stronger, faster, and in better shape than old players. They're all super athletic. Don't you know that?
I'm sorry.
I see what you're saying. He doesn't. It's funny because he doesn't look the part, and I know that shouldn't matter, but he doesn't look like your superstar, you know, MVP candidate point guard.
Yeah.
And listen, we talked about Zion yesterday. So hopefully, I'm not suggesting that Luka's there. But yeah, I think you're right. I think that getting in better shape, I think, is important. So
when I look at this Dallas team, Tone, I'm looking at, you know, they got a lot of D and three guys. I dig Brunson. I think he might be the best backup point guard in the NBA.
He's playing fantastic.
I love him. And I think that if they could get Porzingis and Luka on the same page, I think this team, and Jason Kidd's a new coach, so they still got to get acclimated to that system. But I think that once they get on the same page, I think that they're going to make some noise. I got them at 6 in the West.
Yeah, it's tough to be a cohesive kind of Batman and Robin when Robin's always, you know, with Doc Ock.
It's not going to work
in the hospital. I don't think he can stay healthy, but I hope he does. Mm-hmm. All right, Phoenix is another one where, listen, that's the issue, right?
I don't think it's an issue at all, Tone. And the reason why is because it looks to me like they're starting to get on the same page. They've won four straight. Ayton has been really good in the lineup. Chris Paul has got them rolling. Miles Bridges has been playing really good for them.
Yeah.
Really good. Kaminsky has been giving them really good minutes off the bench too. So I already know what Book's going to give them. I already know what Ayton's going to give them. I already know what Chris Paul is going to give them. Cameron Payne has been playing really good for them. And the reason why is that offense has been a lot faster. And the reason why that offense has been a lot faster is because Ayton's done a really good job at rim protecting. And it speeds up their offense because he gets the ball off the backboard and they go. And the most important thing, what people aren't talking about, is, you know, Chris Paul's healthy, which is funny. Because I know it's the beginning of the season, but, you know,
healthy. The older he gets, the healthier he gets.
Yeah, look, you said it to me in the past. So something going on in Phoenix and that water down there.
It's that water. It's that dry heat. All right, I'll give you two this time. Memphis. We talked about Denver. So let's stick to Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
Is Memphis gonna keep it up? Right,
I had Memphis
6-4 right now.
I had Memphis to start the season. I think I had them at 7. I think I had them at 7 or 8. And I like what they're doing with their young guys. Jaren Jackson looks really good. Once Dylan Brooks gets healthy and he gets back acclimated to what they're doing, I think they're going to make some noise in the West. We can talk about Ja all day. Ja's one of the better young point guards in the game. I think that at some point he's going to be a top 5 point guard, arguably the best point guard in the game. But that team as a unit, I think that they're going to make some noise in the Western Conference. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think, listen, we talk a lot about Ja.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said it before. I think he's, you know, this is no disrespect to Trae Young or any of the other ones. I think he's my favorite young point guard in the league right now. I think he's my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying he's the best today, although I think he has that potential to be the best, but he's my favorite. He's the one I enjoy watching the most.
That's how I feel about Jason Tatum. Exactly. Yeah. What you just said, that's how I feel about Jason Tatum.
Denver, we talked about Denver. We know, look, they're still waiting on Jamal Murray to get back.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, hopefully, man, it seems like it's taking forever for him to get back, but I think that's kind of the piece that they're missing. But hey, they're going to be competitive. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's an argument. The two teams at 7 and 8, there's only really one team in LA, but there's another one who plays there. The Clippers and the Lakers. So I think we talk about the Lakers. We know what the Lakers are, what the issues are. Obviously, right now you got LeBron out with one of those kind of nagging injuries that people his our age are gonna have.
Right.
They're still trying to figure themselves out, the chemistry and that. What's going on with the Clippers? They're not, let's be honest, they're not getting Kawhi back. I know everyone's saying he's coming back March, April. No. So let's say no Kawhi. Are they just a play-in team? Is that what they are?
Especially, particularly, Tone, if they're a play-in team, there's no way they're risking him. It'd be one thing if they were the number two or the number three seed. If they're a 7-8 team, Leonard is not going to get back into the fold. They're not going to risk that. No way are they going to risk that. But when I look at this Clipper team, Paul George is playing great.
Yeah, Paul George we forgot about Paul George.
Yes, Paul George is playing great. Reggie Jackson's playing pretty good, too. It's the rest of those guys. You know, we talk about Mann and, you know, the 40-point game that he had last year in the playoffs. You know, he's averaging about 9 points, and he could be a little bit better in his decision-making. I think he could be, I think his shot should improve, and it could improve. But when I look at the rest of that group, Morris, Zubac, that's a group that's been together for a while. And I mean, I don't know how much longer, Tone, we hold on to this group, because I mean, after this season, what else are we going to get out of this group? Are they going to be the favorites next year? Are they going to be, because I think last year was, I had them in the NBA finals had Leonard not gotten hurt. So, I mean, this year you have no Leonard for the season. So, I mean, what's the ceiling with this group? And I know it's early still.
It's early, but listen, the Clippers going to clip. That's the Clippers are just the Clippers. I don't think it even matters.
Absolutely.
But I will say, but let me say this, because we pick on Paul George a little bit, mm-hmm. but, and I know that's not exactly the same, but like, just think about all the love we give Derrick Rose, right? Had a horrific injury, mm-hmm. came back. And let's be honest, he's not the same player. He's a role mm-hmm. player. He's a really good role player, but he's a role player. But we give him so much love. Mm-hmm. I'll use his name as a pun. We give him all the flowers he deserves. However, Paul George had a horrific injury. And not only did Paul George come back from that injury, he's playing MVP caliber basketball again.
Facts.
And we don't give, why don't we give Paul George that love?
Because of the playoffs. That's why.
Is that why?
That's exactly why. Even though this is a guy who not only did he have a compound fracture and break his leg, and he basically, it took him 2 years to get back to form. He actually got back to form. We're talking about a guy.
Exactly.
He actually got back to form. He was first team all NBA, and he was an all-league defender, and he finished, I think it was the 18-19 season where he finished in the top three in the league in MVP votes. So we actually got back to that. But the problem that we're having, not me in particular, but the problem that we're having with a lot of people is playoff P, pandemic P. And I take that back, Tony. I'm not going to say me too, because I did it too. I fell into that, and I saw what he was doing in the playoffs, and I saw the guy that he was in the playoffs, and I got sucked right into it that he couldn't do that, when in reality – I could have been better at seeing what he had turned into, considering what had happened. I could have definitely done that, and I was wrong for that. No doubt.
Is any of it also the, you know, leaving Indiana, going to OKC, and then the way that he made his way out of OKC?
You can make that argument. Yeah.
Do you think that plays into it too? Because I think it's interesting that I loved him in Indiana, right? Mm-hmm. And then he goes to OKC. Signs the extension, and then like 5 minutes later, he's like, I want out. And so I think that also rubbed people the wrong way. It's like, hey, if you don't want to be in OKC, then whatever you feel, you know, you where you want to be, I'm okay with that. There's a reason there's free agency and all these other things. I think the fact that he signed the extension and then did it like very quickly about, mm-hmm. hey, I want to go to LA and, you know, I want to go home and I want to play the, I think that did rub people the wrong way as well.
It did. Yes, it
all right,
did.
So let's talk about, we'll end it with a bulk of teams. And you just tell me, will they be in the play-in or out of the play-in? The disappointing Trailblazers, which I think we've both agreed, what was it, 18-19, when they made the Western Conference Finals, that was their mm-hmm. peak and they need to blow it up. Dame and CJ McCollum are like not as good version of Tatum and Jaylen Brown, where they just don't coexist. They should probably swap one of them for the other, and some pieces that would probably make both of their teams significantly better. Hey, maybe there you go. I just helped you guys out. So Portland, Sacramento, OKC, Minnesota. I can't believe I'm saying this name. San Antonio. I get it that they've blown it up and they've got, but that is just so weird because for how long they've just, were just there. San Antonio, Houston, New Orleans.
Yep.
Do any of those teams make you think they have an opportunity? Two of them are in the play-in.
You and I had this conversation, Tone, before the season started, and I said to you, I would not be surprised if the Trailblazers did not make the playoffs this year. that wouldn't surprise me.
I thought you were nuts.
You thought I was nuts.
I thought you were nuts. Yeah.
You thought I was nuts, but I stand on that. It would not surprise me if Portland did not make the playoffs this year. That wouldn't surprise me one bit. When I look at the other teams, when I look at New Orleans, New Orleans is a mess. New Orleans is a mess. San Antonio, they actually got some young players. I don't know how much longer Pop stays because I think the game, like Phil Jackson, like Pat Riley, I think it's passing them by.
I think this might be Pop's last season.
Yeah.
I think he might step down and listen, there's some pieces. Like I like DeJounte Murray, I think.
Yeah.
Is nice. Like, they've got, but it's a young team.
Correct.
Doing what you've done. Mm-hmm. Like Pop, do you want to go through that three to five year building process?
Right.
I don't know.
Absolutely not. Now, Tone, I will tell you this. I wouldn't be surprised if Minnesota was in the middle of that play-in tournament. It wouldn't surprise me at all. This is a team that was at the bottom of the Western Conference last year, and I think the difference is D'Angelo Russell staying healthy. I already know what Cat's going to do. And Anthony Edwards is turning.
I like Anthony Edwards.
And he's turning into
really
that
like
player.
I really like Anthony Edwards, yeah.
He's absolutely turning into that player. So it wouldn't surprise me if they're right there in the middle of that play-in tournament.
It would surprise me, and I'll tell you why. Minnesota and Sacramento both. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the water in those two places. They always seem to have talent. They just can't win games.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get it. Because to say like, okay, they've missed here. They could have got this player, that player. Okay, you can do that all day with anybody. But they've got a talent. Like if your team had D'Angelo, Cat, and Anthony Edwards, you'd be feeling pretty good about your team. I don't feel good about Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. And I feel the same way about Sacramento when I think about the talent that they have. And I think the problem, I already told you this, Tone, is on the bench. That's where the problem is. The problem is not with the talent. I love De'Aaron Fox. I'm Harrison Barnes is one of my favorite role players in the game. I love Holmes. The problem with that unit,
Walton,
is on the bench. That's where the problem is.
All right. Well, there's the West. So here's what I think. I think of those, what, six,
and I didn't,
seven?
And I didn't mention Oklahoma City, and we talked about Giddy, but
I think they're
a ways away. Them in Houston, they're a ways away. They still have to establish who their franchise player is, and once they get that established and building it around them. So
right now it's Portland and Sacramento. I'm going to say it's going to be Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I'm going to say the two teams that I just said, they always, I'm going to put Minnesota and Sacramento in the play-in. And and I'm going to go with you. I'm going to say Portland's out at number 11.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Dame is, I think Dame might want to shut it down. He's got a bunch of nagging injuries. He's not playing well. There's clearly something up. And I don't know. I get this. It's not coming from anywhere. There's no inside information.
The problem.
I just feel like he's just be like, you know what? I need a break.
The problem that they're having in Portland, and I said this to you before, Tone, the problem that they're having in Portland is that 18-19 team, that looks to me like the same team today, only except everybody else in the West got better.
Better, yeah.
And they didn't.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. Well, who, way too early, and we're going to talk about this again. Who do you got at 9 and 10? Now that's with the assumption. That's with the assumption that the top eight stay, you know,
right
there,
right.
Which we'll get in later in the season. We'll say if they'll get in or out. But of those seven teams: Portland, Sacramento, OKC, Minnesota, San Antonio, Houston, New Orleans. Who are the two that you think are in the play-in?
I think Sacramento is going to be there, and I think that Minnesota is going to be there.
So we've got a clean sweep on the two teams that we both just said can't win. All right. Well, let's see if that happens. That's it for this week. Fluid and Chill NBA edition. Check this will be. This is Wednesday, so check out Fluent and Chill NFL edition Friday. Ooh, we got some stuff to talk about. We got some Odell, Aaron Rodgers. We got a lot to talk about this week on the NBA edition. But until then,
take it light. Take it.
Get the full Sports Fluent Anthony K and Friends experience. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at sports_fluent. What does it mean to be truly fluent? Support us today for exclusive content, direct one-on-one chats, answers to your questions, and best of all, every quarter, a lucky supporter will be chosen to appear on Sports Fluent and receive some great swag from Boardwalk Los Angeles. How can you support us? Go to anchor.fm/sports-fluent/support.